It's 9:05 at Q92 Radio. Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Culture Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Culture Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Good morning and welcome to the Lacaparo Valley Culture Show. Dick Newman bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the switchboard.
Control panel there,
Paul's got a shout-out to do here.
Yeah, last night at halftime I interviewed Lakeview's Tom Hins, a longtime Lakeview supporter and number one fan in Lakeview there. And Tom was inducted into the Lakeview High School Hall of Fame a couple weekends ago, and he told me that he listens to the Coach's Show every Saturday morning, doesn't miss it. So thanks for tuning in, Tom.
Yeah, Tom. He probably wants my joke.
Yeah, he loves jokes.
Okay, let's go through some scores at last couple nights. On Thursday night, some area teams played. Camby defeated Lacaparo Valley 39-8, and we'll hear about that here shortly with Tony Smith. Mineola kept rolling along all over Yellow Medicine East, 75-6. Murray County 8-0. I guess they were supposed to win, but not by that margin over Russell Tyler Ruthen, 49-0. Some games last night: Tracy Milroy Bellaton over KMS, 66-6. Maple Lake defeated West Central Area, 46-16. Dawson Boyd defeated Lakeview, 42-15. Jordan over Foley, 28-21. Redwood Valley shut out ACGC, 47-0. Minnewaska rolled over Montevideo, 34-6. Annandale defeated Malacca, 56-6. Litchfield, 62, Sauk Center. Albany over New London Spicer, 22-14. Morris Area, Chicago, Alberta over Glencoe Silver Lake, 27-16. And Sleepy Eye United defeated McGray, 13-6. Well, that brings us up to our game on Thursday night down in Camby on their artificial turf facility. It's a nice facility. Camby picked up, I think, their third win of the season.
You are correct. Yeah, that's a nice complex they have added to their school. Press box, grandstand. They only have the grandstand on the one side. So, but, yeah, very nice facility. They got a track for the first time in forever. It's a nice place to play. We talked about going into the week. We talked about the importance of, hey, we got two games here, can maybe get ourselves a decent seed going into the postseason. And, unfortunately, we weren't able to come out with the victory on Thursday night. Started off with a nice stop on their first possession. And then we took the ball and we were driving. We had a nice drive inside, outside. Unfortunately, we turned the ball over. And that's been the name of the game for us. And when your ball control and when you're trying to, eat up time and you don't come away with points, that really kind of that's a double whammy when you don't get anything then. But unfortunately, yeah, we were unable to punch that one in. I believe we fumbled on like the 8 or 9 yard line on our first series. And that took up a good chunk of the, basically two possessions took up a chunk of the first quarter. And then they got the ball back early in the second quarter put a nice drive together, and they were able to score. And then we had a nice drive, got the ball down, I believe, in like the 15. And unfortunately, we had another turnover. So, we did some nice things, moving the football, controlling the line of scrimmage again. We just weren't able to, and, you know, we had some opportunities for some big plays on the edge, and we just weren't able to capitalize. And then, so it was 17. We had a nice defensive stop there at the end of the first half to make it 17 to nothing at halftime. Then to start the third quarter, we got the ball to start the half, and we went down, and Jackson Fernolds hit Jax Wells on a 30-yard touchdown pass and catch. Over one defender in front of another, Jax caught it, broke a tackle, and ran the other 5-6 yards in for a touchdown. And then with the two-point conversion, it was 17-8. On their next series, we were able to get a three and out, and we had the ball, and we were doing some good things. We got to midfield, and unfortunately, we turned it over on downs that time. You know, in hindsight, maybe should have punted it deep and see if we could have got something to go our way. But we went for it. I thought, you know, we had some nice momentum on the previous series. We got a defensive stop. Let's see if we can continue this thing. And that didn't work out for us. And then they were able to score. So at the end of the third quarter, it was 25-8. And you know, we continued to move the ball, and you know, throughout the course of the year, we've shown that we can run a lot of plays, just not a lot of big chunk yardage plays, and that just kind of that took its toll because it shortens up the game a little bit, and then they were able to score two other times there in the fourth quarter, one with about a 2 minutes to go, they threw one in. So, you know, offensively, we ran for just a hair over 200 yards on the ground. So we did a nice job with that. Jay Stalina had 12 carries for 76 yards. Gavin Mortensen had three carries for 51 yards. Adrian Specht had 7 carries for 38 yards. Jax Wells had 2 for 18. Nicholas Hoffman had 1 for 8, and Max Young had 1 for 6. Throwing the ball, here again, you know, they're up crowding the line, trying to take care of the option, and I really wanted to try to get some passing game, some rhythm with us on that, whether it was play action or a three-step. And the first one we threw on our second series was intercepted, and then one later on, was batted up in the air. We didn't pick up a blitzer, and he came unblocked, and he batted the ball in the air, which caused the second interception. We had a receiver open down the field on that. So on the night, Jackson Fernolds was 3 of 8 for 48 yards and a touchdown. Jax Wells was 0 for 1. We went with our Captain America play, and our receiver wasn't they covered that nicely. Defensively, Jax Wells had 4 tackles and an assist. Adrian Speck, 4 tackles and an assist. Jay Staline had 3 tackles. Matthew Sherman had 3 tackles and assist. One of those tackles was for loss. Nolan Smith had 3 tackles and 4 assists. Kaysen Heineke had 2 tackles and an assist. Douglas Bruner had 2 tackles. Gavin Mortensen had 2 tackles and 2 assists. Gabe Lowry had 2 tackles, 3 assists, and a tackle for loss. Jackson Fernolds had 2 tackles. Talon Kranz had a tackle. Elias Alonzo had 2 tackles, an assist, and a fumble recovery. We knew that they were going to throw the ball. They're shotgun 99% of the time. And, you know, and they did. They had... on one of our turnovers, they turned around on the next play and had a, I think it was a 91 or 92-yard touchdown pass, breakdown in coverage. And, you know, so they, you know, watch it back, and I didn't think that it was too explosive for them, that one play, yes. But we just... We allowed them to convert a couple of third downs. And I guess the one thing that I wasn't aware of until I was looking at the stats, we were 8 of 12 on third down. And so that was, I mean, that's a nice number there. They were only 3 of 9 on third down, but where they got their money was on first and second down, and were able to get the ball down where they needed to, and they took advantage of some short fields when you turn the ball over five times. That's unfortunate.
Yeah. So you end this regular season, short week. Now and on Wednesday night.
Yeah, we host YME on Wednesday night, and we do a coaches vote in our district or our section. So we'll see where kind of all that evens out here. Probably either Wednesday night, Thursday morning time of who's going where, and with only seven teams in the section, one is getting a bye, two plays seven. Three plays six and four plays five. So I'm assuming just with in the old world of reality, we're going to be the sixth or the seventh seed depending on Wednesday night. And I also want to make sure that I mentioned the junior high finished up their season last week. Seventh grade won, I believe it was 32-20. And then the eighth grade lost 14-6. So
that was against who?
That was against McCray. So okay. I think the eighth grade has lost maybe two or three times in the last 2 years, and both two of the losses have been to McCray. So they had kind of circled that on their calendar, and it didn't come out for them. But they both groups had a nice year. So thanking Matt Carmody, Timothy White, and then also Johnny Garibay coaching. Our fifth and sixth grade tackle league finishes up today. They are in Canby or Dawson. I don't remember which one, but they finish up today. We had our flag football league K through six. We had our last night was last Monday night. I think we're going to try to do something at halftime on Wednesday with those guys. So it's all just kind of coming to an end here. JV-wise, you know, unfortunately with injuries and that type of thing, we haven't been able to play the last couple weeks, and we tried to line something up with Border West, and it was on the schedule, and we were thinking that we were going to try to get something accomplished on Monday, but we had a phone conversation yesterday afternoon, and they've got some guys in a situation where they're getting quite a bit of playing time on the varsity nights, and they have a short week. And so they've decided that they don't want to play on Monday. So we'll just keep going as we have been. And like I said, and I sent out a message to the parents, you know, this isn't the way you draw it up. And so we've been trying to figure out ways to get them some sort of action or some sort of simulation as far as getting them reps, whether it's practice or scrimmages in practice or what have you. So we're trying to help out those guys too.
Okay, well, I guess once the season starts, it goes by in a hurry, and we're rounding third, headed for home.
So, yes, we are.
Yeah.
I talked to the group on Monday of last week and said, hey, if you do the math here, you've got seven guaranteed practices and three games. Right, it gets to be going that fast.
Right.
Once you get to week seven, starting this week, you got seven guaranteed practices. So, between the games and the practices, and then the playoffs, it blink of an eye, and you're right there.
Right. So, well, thanks for the report. Best of luck on Wednesday night, home game. It's all. No place like home, so it's nice to finish out the regular season at home.
Yes, 100%.
Tony Smith on football. After the break, we'll be talking cross-country with John Sherb.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, choice chuck roast, $8.99 a pound, fish and seafood, 10% off.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Back here at the studio, talking cross country with John Sherb. With the short week coming up this next week, John, you had a practice this morning, and we're about halfway through your practice, but you have time to take a break from that practice and talk to us about what you had going on last week.
Yeah, we ran at Raymond last Monday. Princeburg, we had an off week, and Princeburg was nice enough to let us in, so we went over there and got a race in. Kids really ran well. I'm always a little skeptical of Monday meets, but we ran really well all levels, and it was good to see where we've grown, and we kind of blossomed a little bit. Hopefully this is something that we can build off for the next basically 3 weeks. But again, at least one meet we looked good, so that's the good thing. Junior high, they ran a 2,400-meter course there. Our top runner was Chelsea Clark. She was third. She was at 10:10. And right behind her was Skylar Stock in sixth at 10:16. Cambry Larson was ninth at 10:41. Then we had Ainsley Grunholz, 11th at 10:56. Then Emerson Erdman was 12th at 10:57. Macy Clavin was 16th at 11:32. Then we had Cora Nelson at 25th at 14:24. Junior high boys ran same course as what the girls did, 2,400 meters. Uriah Speck was our top runner. He was fourth. He was 9:22. He's just really has really come on this last half of the season. Really, is, I don't believe in himself, working and just kind of falling it mentally. Landon Scholar was 19th at 11:29. They ran JVs together, boys and girls. Our top JV runner was Alyssa Swinski. She was second, 24:20, which is near her personal best. So you really like to see how she's closing it out. Kaya Poos was fifth, 25:27. That was her best time of the season, so she is starting to kind of come into her legs a little bit, which is good. Shea Botham was seventh at 26:14, and then Quinn Larson was 16th at 28:25. Boys JV, Kentaro Ferraro was first. He won the JV race. That's his first, probably, I think that's his first ever win in a cross-country meet at all, so you kind of like to see. We needed to move some kids around a little bit fun times, and so he was on JV, and he really worked hard in that JV and won that pretty soundly with a 20:17, which I believe is right at his personal best. Eddie Felton was 11th at 22:02. Varsity girls, they ran a 5K course there. We kind of figured out where we're at because we know, Camby's was there, and we're kind of trying to, can we close the gap? Because last time they beat us by 14, so we're kind of seeing where we're at with it. And we did not run the greatest, but we really ran well in a lot of spots, and hopefully this is something to look at. Brent Glegge won it with a time of 20:20. Chloe Glegge just had an awesome race. You got to really like the way the second half of the race, she really was in attack mode. She ended up finishing second overall, 2 seconds right behind Brent, so at 20:22. Laura Sherrar was at 12th at 21:43. Sadie Rosendahl was 13th at 21:44. So that was a big race for her. That is near her personal best, if not by a good 30 seconds, I would say. Then we had Tali Hurston at 24th at 23:18. Harper Grunholz was 29th at 23:49. And Morgan Anderson was 30th at 23:52. Girls end up beating Camby. We end up winning with 44. Camby was second at 58. Monty's at 80. And Princeburg, 83. Eden Valley Watkins at 88. Wabasso is 143. So, again, overall, like I said, thought our kids really ran well. Hopefully we're coming into ourselves. Again, it's one time we can get a chance to get on Camby. It was nice. Again, they're still a team we're still chasing. It's just, we're going to work and see what we can do on that later, hopefully. Then on the boys, top runner was Colin Rosendahl. Really trucked that last mile, was really flying. He finished fourth, 17:48. Tanner Gallus was sixth at 18:09. Landon Keeman was 15th at 18:40. Matthew Botham was 16th at 18:41. Brody Nelson was 23rd at 19:16. Colton Heinicke was 24th at 19:17, and Aaron Will was 28th at 19:25. Scoring-wise, Canby won it with 51. We were second with 56. Monty at 70. McCray at 121. Eden Valley got Watkins 130. Lakeview 138. CMC 171. And Wyoming at 196. So it was nice because when we ran against, on the Canby boys side, they trounced us by almost 30 points. So it's nice to close that gap down. So it was a good, really good meet, and the kids ran really well.
Okay. So that's what you had this past week. What's coming up this next week?
Now we're in tournament time. And hold on 1 second here. Conover, why don't you get them rolling?
Yep.
And basically it's, we're chasing Canby. Because, again, boys and girls both, because, again, with our graduation, what we have, and the girls are so strong over there, so we're going to hopefully we can run well against them. There's going to be a new twist to the conference. Benson's in. Benson's got a really, really nice boys team. We've seen them all throughout the season. We just have not been able to get their number. And if I look on paper, I would say probably Benson and Canby are the favorites on the boys' side. We're kind of in the shadows of that third. Girls, Canby's still the favorite with all the horses they got returning. We're just going to hopefully give another solid race onto them and see what we can have in there. So it's going to be a dogfight. Both varsity races, there are going to be some serious dogfights there, which will be fun. It'll be fun for the kids to compete and see where we're at and just kind of keep growing as we're moving throughout the season. So that'll be a 4 o'clock start at the Lakeview golf course there, which is in the southwest side of Cottonwood.
Right. And that golf course is very similar to Raymond. It's very few hills, and it's good, nice to terrain to run on.
Yeah, it's not going to be anything devastating for hills. It's a nice course. We'll do two loops over there, so it's really nothing devastating. I mean, even where we ran at Raymond on last Monday has a little bit more hills than what they have there. So, but again, everybody races, see what happens, and we just got to again continue to grow and continue to challenge ourselves, and we'll be fine, and just see what we can do with everybody else.
Okay. Well, thanks for the report this morning, and best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Cross Country. We'll take this break and be talking girls tennis with Dr. Brant Hacker.
Paul Ramo here for Q92 Sports. Join me Wednesday night as two state-ranked football teams battle it out in the last regular season game. Dawson Boyd travels to Minneota to take on the Vikings. Big rival. 7 o'clock kickoff from Compline Field. That's Minneota and Dawson Boyd in high school football Wednesday night right here on Q92. This farm safety tip comes to you from Farmers Union Oil Company in Montevideo in Granite Falls. Be aware of your surroundings. Farms have many potential hazards, including heavy machinery, animals, chemicals, and uneven terrain. Always be alert and mindful of what is around you. This farm safety tip comes to you from your friends at Farmers Union Oil Company in Montevideo and Granite Falls. This farm safety tip comes from Fernald's Crop Insurance in Madison. While operating tractors and other farm equipment, be very cautious on rural roadways. Look for oncoming cars while making wide turns. Watch for potholes, ditches, and steep hills. Be sure to keep equipment at least 20 feet from any overhead power lines or wires that support poles. This farm safety tip from Brian Fernals of Fernals Crop Insurance. City Hall Bar and Grill in Minneota has a brand new menu, and we can't wait for you to try it. Dine in with friends or grab something to go. It's easy. Just Google City Hall Bar and Grill, click order online, and dinner's done. We know our farmers and families are busy, so let us do the cooking. We appreciate all of you for supporting local. Stop by City Hall Bar and Grill, open Tuesday through Friday, 4 to 10, Saturday, 11 till 10, and Sundays, noon to 8. City Hall Bar and Grill in Minneota. Good food, good friends, and good times.
back here at the studio talking to Dr. Brent Hacker on girls' tennis. And you're, like we said last week, your season is over halfway through, not even halfway through the October time because of an early start. So let's talk about the team concept on Monday, and we hoped you would play also on Wednesday, and you did. So
yeah. So right, we our season is winding down, and pretty much there already to some degree. You know, the last Saturday in September we played conference, and then that brought us to sections this past Monday, like you mentioned, Dick. And we ended up out of the 18 section, we ended up getting the sixth seed. And we're set up to play Laverne, who's the third seed down in Laverne. But we kind of knew going into it, our section is pretty even across the middle between, you know, between that third seed, really all the way down to that seventh seed. There have been a lot of teams kind of trading blows back and forth with people pulling off wins or losses against each other in that area. So we felt really good going into the match with Laverne. We played them actually in August. It was one of our first matches, and we lost to them 4-3 with some very close matches there, different points. And, you know, we went down to Laverne, and we were able to pull off a 4-3 win against them and felt really good about that. We really had good play kind of all the way across our lineup. Alexis Olson was our one singles player. She had lost previously pretty quickly, but fought. She ended up losing, but played a 6-1, 6-4 match. So that second set really came back, fought hard, and did a good job. Maya Virgi, our two singles player, also ended up losing at that position, but lost 7-5 in the first set. So did a much better job than when she ended up playing the same gal earlier this season, where she lost 1-1. Now almost took a set off of her, but lost that second set 6-1. Reese Kuzman at three singles picked up a win at 6-1, 6-1. Reese's been playing really well. She's very athletic, gets to a lot of balls, and just, it's, you know, fun to watch. Greta Hacker at four singles picked up a win for us as well, 6-3, 6-2. She's been playing well and doing well at that four singles spot. Molly Halverson and Cameron Olson are one doubles, picked up a win for us, 2-6-2, 7-6. Got a little tight in that second set, but we were able to pull off that tiebreaker there. Bree Borstad and Aiden Bond have been our two doubles players all season, and they did a really nice job, 6-2, 6-0. Both of them are playing really well. Excuse me. You can see that, you know, both of them can see where the ball needs to go, and you can tell they're trying to get that ball there. You know, do they always execute the shot? No, but, you know, having that knowledge and awareness of where to put the ball to start with is the first step. So they're doing a great job there. Kenna McTye and Riley Clark, three doubles team, ended up lost a close one, 6-4, 6-4. So fought hard. Again, couldn't get it to go our direction. But overall, as a team, we ended up picking up that 4-3 win, which got us to that next round of team sections, which we were pretty excited to get to.
Yeah, and you mentioned last week that you were hoping that you would turn the score around, and you did, so that's good.
Yeah, you know, it's nice to play teams sometimes later in the season and just kind of measure yourself a little bit, see if you've made some improvement or made maybe more improvement than that other team. And it's good for the kids just to help them feel like, hey, they're making progress, and this is something, you know, it's tangible, they can see it. They know they've done it.
Then you were able to play on Wednesday.
Yeah, Wednesday put us up against Morris, and Morris beat us 6-1 last time, and we knew we had a lot there. Our top teams in section are Montevideo and Morris, and both of them are very solid teams. They're stacked with seniors. They've got a great program there. Both Trish Suchek and Brittany House and Morris and Montevideo run really good programs. Anyhow, we ended up playing against Morris on Wednesday morning down in Sioux Falls at Huther, which is just, it's a beautiful indoor facility down there in Sioux Falls. They've got 10 courts indoors. They started with 6, and about a year ago put 4 more on.
Wow.
So it's a great experience for the kids to go down and see a facility like that and be able to play there. Not something we have out here in Madison, Minnesota. So that was great. But we ended up, they do it a little different. You play until one team or the other has won the match. So you need four out of the 3 points, you know, four out of the seven, excuse me. You got to get the majority of seven to win. And so we ended up filling the four positions right away. And because of Minnesota State High School League rules, you fill from the bottom of your lineup up. So our two doubles, three doubles, and three and four singles were the matches out there. And we ended up losing at all of those positions. We had some good play and some tough, we had some close matches. Got a hacker, got a 6-4 game off of our set off of our opponent. Reese played some tough matches. Bree and Aiden Bond did a nice job, but couldn't get things going our way. But anyhow, you know, in spite of sometimes you go out there and give 100% and things, you know, you just run up against a better team, or maybe your shots just aren't going the way you want, even though you're giving 100%. And Morris did a good job. They beat us, you know, 4-0. That ended up, that ended our team season right there. So as of last Wednesday, we're done as a team already. And now we're getting ready for individual sections, which are coming up this Monday morning again. Get to head down to Sioux Falls. We play indoors. So we're on the courts at 7:30 Monday morning, hopefully getting ready to play somebody down there.
Right. And do you know what your team will be then, or your individuals will be?
I do, yeah, thanks. So from we get to put in two doubles entries and two singles entries, and I've always given my one singles player a choice of what she wants to do, if she wants to stay in the singles bracket or double team up with somebody and go doubles. And Alexis Olson has been my one singles player all season, and she chose to team up with Maya Virgie, another senior this year, and go into the doubles bracket. So okay. We've been working a lot of doubles with them the last few days, because all they did all season pretty much was singles. So, but, you know, I think, you know, a lot of teams look at this and kind of do something similar where, you know, if you've got a few strong singles players in the section, you know, what are your chances of getting by them or getting into that, at least that second day where, you know, we play down from 16 entries the first day down to four the second day. And my goal is to, you know, let's get to that second day, one day at a time here. So that's our doubles team will be Molly Halverson, Cameron Olson, who was my true one doubles all season, and then Alexis Olson and Maya Virgie will be the other two the other doubles entry. And then Reese Kuzman, who played three singles, and Greta Hacker, who played four singles, are going to be the singles entries. And those folks are chosen really just based on the strength ladder I have during the season. So those would be the next strongest players on the team. So they have the choice to go ahead and get into that singles bracket and play there. So I know Greta and Reese will have some tough competition, you know, but hopefully we'll, you know, we're going to work on our game, take it one point at a time, and do what we can. Hopefully give whoever we're up against, give them a headache a little bit and make it tough for them. And, yeah, challenge them. Let's get some points off there. And, you know, you never know who shows up on court. You got to get out there and play the match, because you can't assume anybody's going to, you know, take it home until they get out there and play it. So,
and that is so true. And remember what happened last year in that doubles. You knocked
That's
off
right,
the number
yeah.
one seed right away.
Yeah. We had Hannah Oy and Kayla Jan as our as our doubles team that made it to state. And, of course, out here, we're not ranked. And we ended up in the bracket. They only ranked the first five out of the 16 at state. And then they ended up, we ended up pulling the number one seed from Breck, but ended up beating them.
Right.
So, heck, yeah, that's right. You got to put your shoes on, lace them up, get on the court, and, you know, let's hit some tennis balls. So that's kind of the message I'm trying to give. You know, you don't know. You got to get out there and play. And when section is on the line and you know that it's win or go home, kids get tight. They don't. Maybe they're not playing well, right? They're thinking about it too hard. So yeah, we'll have fun Monday morning, one way or the
sure.
other here.
That's for sure. And then, you know, your other gals in the program, they got a lot of experience too.
Yeah, heck yeah, yes, for sure. What Bree Borst? I mean, the gals on the varsity team: Bree Borstad, Aiden Bond, Kenna McTy, Riley Clark. They're just great players. I get all of them. Hopefully, I get them all back next year if they choose to come out. Love to have them, of course. But just showed a lot of promise, a lot of improvement. I feel bad. Bree dealt with some injuries at the end, but toughed it out. She did a great job, kind of gritting through some of those last matches there. And then we've got some younger kids. And then Kenna McTy is a junior, going to be a senior next year. And then we have, you know, we had Vanessa Piotr, Macy Moen. Mari Fulmes and Micaiah Cobalt, playing with the varsity a good chunk of the season. And, you know, Vanessa's going to be a junior next year, so she rolls back. And Mari's just in eighth grade, and Micaiah's only ninth. And, boy, those kids are really hitting the ball, hustling, working hard. And when, you know, when you work hard and you want something and you're willing to put the time on the court, boy, good things usually happen. So I'm really excited to see where they end up next year.
That's right. So, well, anything else?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout-out to a couple people. Of course, Austin Ireland, man, just does a great job as a JV coach. That guy's got, yeah, tons of energy. And he had a big crew. We had 32 kids out. So
right.
I had usually 12 or 14, and he had, you know, 16, 18 every day. And then Maddie Matthews was on the court with us. Boy, she's probably there 75% of the time or more this season, helping coach, working around her job. And we really appreciate it. She did a good job. She worked with both the JV team and the varsity, and just the feedback I got from the varsity gals was that she was really helpful, did a great job, and we really appreciated her being out there.
Yeah. And, of course, with the new courts, you were able to have some home meets.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That's just, well, it was a treat and a half right there. We have been on the road for 2+ years.
Right.
So being able to host at home was awesome. And I think, you know, the courts out there are beautiful. The layout is, I think it's really nice. You've got four on one side, three on the other. And as a coach, you can kind of eyeball things pretty darn quickly and get to the court you need to quickly. It's nice to have that. I mean, definitely with 32 kids this year, it was nice to have the space to spread out. Everybody gets to hit more tennis balls when you have, you know, four or five kids per court versus six or eight. The school and has done a really good job putting those things together out there, and we're really thankful for them. So,
good.
Yeah. Okay. So hopefully we'll talk next week about our individual section stuff.
Sure, yeah. And best of luck, and we'll hear all about it next week.
That sounds great. Thank you, Dick.
Yep. That's Dr. Brant Hacker on girls tennis. After the break, we'll be talking volleyball.
When Saturday remains this year to dispose of electronics, bulbs, appliances, and tires at the Lac Parle Special Item Recycling Site. If you have waste to dispose of, Saturday, October 11th is the last day the recycling site will be open in 2025. The collection is open to all Lac Parle County residents and businesses. Appliances, tires, and electronics are accepted for a small fee. All bulbs are now free. The collection will be open Saturday, October 11th, 8 to noon. The special item recycling site located at 2462 241st Avenue, the former demolition landfill site a quarter mile east of Madison and Highway 40, then a half mile north on 241st Avenue. If you have any questions concerning acceptable items or prices, call the Lac Parle County Environmental Office at 320-598-3132. You can also find more details by clicking the green recycling button on the county website at lqpco.com. There you'll find links in both the calendar and news flash sections. This is funded by the Select Committee on Recycling and the Environment Score Grant Program.
Watch Prairie Sportsman airing Sunday nights at 7:30 on Pioneer Public Television. Join host Brett Amundson and adventure into the world of outdoor sports and the science of natural resource restoration. Top it off with a toast to local artists, cooks, and brewers. That's Prairie Sportsman, Sunday nights, 7:30 on Pioneer PBS.
This farm safety tip brought to you by Fieldcrest Fertilizer in Madison concerning children. Farmers, check your farm on a regular basis for hazards that can injure children wandering on your farm. Deal with obvious hazards immediately. Children who are physically able to be involved in farm work should be assigned age-appropriate tasks and continually trained to perform them. They should also be constantly supervised. This farm safety tip brought to you by Fieldcrest Fertilizer in Madison. For all your fertilizer needs, give Fieldcrest Fertilizer a call today. Fieldcrest Fertilizer, Madison, Minnesota.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show on this beautiful Saturday morning. And we're going to visit with Amber Lee, head coach of the Lac Parle Valley Volleyball Team. Good morning, Amber.
Good morning, Paul.
Well, you had some tough competition early on in the week with the state-ranked McCray coming to the Eagle's Nest.
Yeah, they're a very good team. Brielle Jensen and Emma Tyne, they really hold it all together for them there.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I forgot. You were in the Marshall tournament last Friday and Saturday, weren't you?
We were, yep. Okay. Yeah, we finished up second in the white bracket there. We had a much better day Saturday than we did on Friday, so that was fun to see.
How many teams are involved in that Jimmy John's Volleyball Classic?
Oh, my God.
Do you have any idea?
I want to say there's like 22 or 24 teams.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There's quite a few. A lot of really good competition there.
Yep. Good. So, yeah. Okay. You want to talk a little bit about more about that, or you want to just get into the McRae game, or?
I actually wasn't there on Saturday. I was down watching Jalen play last
right.
Saturday.
Oh, that's right. We're going to get our Jalen report in here now. Okay.
Yeah.
How'd she do last weekend?
They did really well. It was their homecoming at Crown College, and they played North Central, and they beat them in three. So that was a lot of fun.
And then last night.
Yep, she played at Buena Vista University in Storm Lake, Iowa. And that was a good game, too.
Yep. Well, boy, you and Ryan are putting the miles on then.
Yeah, we sure are. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
That's right. Well, you had a big night out at La Capella. What was that, Tuesday?
Yep, Tuesday night we did parent night and senior night, which is always a fun night at the Valley.
All right, yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Can get kind of emotional with the seniors going out. You got a good group of seniors.
Yeah, we do. Callie Kahn and Abby Amlin and Lindsay Ludvigson and Paisley Monroe. Paisley hasn't seen any court time this year because she's been injured most of the season. So, you know, it's kind of sad. But she's a great support on the bench. She's great at helping with practice. She's just a really, really big help.
Okay, how about the other seniors then? Who are they again?
Callie Kahn, she plays the middle. And she's just a good all-around player and person, you know. She's got a big heart, and she kind of wears it on her sleeve. And, yeah, she always does the right thing, you know. Even when it's hard, you know, you've got to continue to do that right thing. And she's one that always does the right thing.
Right.
Then we have Abby Amland, and she's just kind of a little spitfire. She just loves the game of volleyball, and she don't care if we're winning or losing. Her attitude and stuff is always up there, and she's always excited about things, and she's just a joy to have on the team. She just really sparks everybody's energy, I guess I should say.
Right, right.
You know? And then Lindsay Ludvigson, she's more silent. I call her a little bit of a silent leader. She is one of the sweetest girls I have ever met. I haven't really known her before starting to be her coach now this year, but she is just kind, and she's kind to everyone. And
good.
She doesn't like to be the center of attention. She doesn't like, you know, being thrown out there, but, yeah, she's just
good.
She's somebody I would like to call a friend.
There you go. Good. Yeah, four good seniors there.
Yeah.
Okay, at Parents Night, too, and recognize the parents, and it's always they put a lot of support in the volleyball program, too, don't they?
Yeah, they do. It's a lot of time, and I know from experience, and it's the meals, and it's the travel, and it's a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the match with the state-ranked McRae Wolverines.
Well, it was a pretty quick one. They beat us in three. First set was definitely our best set. We lost 19-25. Our second set, we won 11-25, and our third set was 12-25. It's just hard to stop Brielle Jensen. She's very good. We did get a lot of touches on a lot of her hits, which, you know, was our main objective there, is just to get a hand on it. We did that, so, yeah.
Okay, any stats there you got in front of you? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Diggs on the night, Payne Sachs had 5, Maya Swatsky had 5, Ashton Shelstead had 15, Lindsay Ludvigson had 3, Marley Ludvigson had 2, and Maya Mortensen had 4. For kills, Callie Kahn had 4, Abby Amland had 5, Carson Whitnavel had 4, Sophie Leah had 1, and Ashton Shelstead had 1. Assists on the night, Maya Swatsky had 6, Marley Ludvigson had 5, and Ashton Shelstead had 1. And Kelly Kahn had one of our only blocks.
Okay. All right. Okay. So then we moved on to what, Thursday night at home again?
Yep, we did. We finished our last home game last night, or Thursday night.
Oh, okay. That's why the seniors are walking off together. It was their last their last home volleyball tournament, huh?
Yep, unless we a chance, yep, would happen to get a home playoff game, yep, but I don't know. Okay. Yeah, they did a senior sign-off, that's called, or something like that at the end of the game, where they had everybody sign their poster, and then you put your handprint on the poster. It's pretty cool.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Dawson Boyd, it's always fun when Dawson Boyd and Lockport play each other, right?
It always is. There's always an exciting gym, and the atmosphere is always really fun.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's tell us about it.
Yeah. Well, we won in three, which was really exciting, because the first time we battled them was in the Benson tournament, and we did beat them in two, and then we've seen them again in the Marshall tournament, and we went three matches with, or three sets with them there. So I was a little curious how this was going to go last, our Thursday night, but yeah, we pulled out the win in three, so we won 25-20, 25-10, and 25-21.
Okay, stats on the match there?
My stats ain't real accurate. I was trying to go through and rewatch because I think our stat keepers got a little too into the game and didn't fill out our stats. So I've got some of them through the first two sets. I can read those, but they are definitely not complete.
Okay. Well, we know Callie had a good match.
Yeah, Callie played really, really well at the net there. She really came alive in that second set and started dominating when we needed her to. So that was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah.
And once we start, you know, playing together and playing well as a team, then everybody gets excited, and including me and the bench and the fans. So that's right. My favorite part of it.
Yeah, well, unofficially, my stats had Callie for 10 kills, 3 blocks, and a couple of ace serves. I think Abby Amlin had 8 or 9 kills as well. So you did well, yep, at the net.
Yeah, we did. We finally getting everything to kind of pull together and, you know, have a complete game where our back row and our front row are playing both well at the same time. So, but yeah, I can run through the stats that I have, but like I said, definitely okay, not official.
Yep, go
All
ahead.
Right, so kills, I've got Carson Wittenable for 4. Callie Kahn had 10. Abby Amlin had 8. Maya Swatsky had 2. Faith Meyer had 3. Set assists, I have Maya Swatsky for 7, or Maya Swatsky for 10, Marley for 4, Carson Wittenable for 3, and Abby Amlin for 1. Digs, Ashton Shelstead had 15, Maya Swatsky had 7, Marley had 4, Peyton had 5, Maya Mortensen had 5, Carson Wittenable had 2, Faith Meyer had 1, and Abby Amlin had 2. And then for blocks, I have Callie with 3 blocks, and then 8 serves. Oh, Faith Meyer also had a solo block. And then, where did my serves go? 8 serves was Peyton Sachs for 2, Maya Swatsky for 2, Maya Mortensen for 3, and Callie Kahn for 2.
Hmm, okay. All right. So good win for you girls, then, for the girls.
Yeah, that was our first conference win, so that was exciting.
Yeah, you got to celebrate, too, wins, right?
Yep, we do. And we played competitive all season, so it's fun to be on the other end of that for once.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, boy, the regular season's coming to an end here, and we're going to start section playoffs pretty soon.
Yep. Our last regular season game, we play KMS at KMS on Tuesday. And then it's MEA break. We have practice a couple days over that. And then our first round of playoffs will be October 20th. It'll be that Monday when we come back after break.
All right. Do you know when the seedings come out?
They have to be submitted by Wednesday the 15th. So okay. I'm assuming shortly after that.
Okay. All right. Then we'll find out when the playoffs start and who plays who then.
Yep. Yep. I'll be curious to see how that all pans out with a few of the upsets and stuff in the upper teams in the section. So.
Yep, it'll be interesting. It's going to be one interesting Section 3 volleyball tournament this year, that's for sure.
That is for sure.
All right, anything else to add, or how JV been doing? How's the new first-year coaches down there in JV? Both Morgans, right?
Yeah, they are doing really well, and I've really enjoyed coaching with them. We had a really fun night last night. We swept 7th grade through varsity with Dawson Boyd, so that was really fun. JV has some wins, has some losses. They lost to McCray also. It's been good. And the Morgan Jager and Morgan Stark are great coaches to work with.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot, Amber. Appreciate it. And you have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday then.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. That's Amber Lee, head coach of the La Caprile Valley girls volleyball team. Take a commercial break and be right back with more of the Coaches Show.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling Ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information. Or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Since 1994, the Country Butcher in Dawson has offered a variety of retail meats, sausages, jerky, and snack sticks. For over 20 years, they've served farmers and customers with custom meat processing for beef, hogs, lamb, and venison. They look forward to serving you with all your butchering and meat needs into the future. Country Butcher, right downtown Dawson, owned and operated by Kip Stender. Stop in, check out the specials, or give them a call for information at 320-769-2238. That's the Country Butcher, downtown Dawson. This week at the Country Butcher in Dawson, choice chuck roast, $8.99 a pound, fish and seafood, 10% off.
Well, back here at the studio, we'll close out another Coaches Show here. It was a good talking to the coaches, and we'll finish it with the Dick Newman sick jokes. I want to learn how to sew. It's not as easy as it seems. What did the mama call say to the baby call? Well, it's past your bedtime. And when my son Steve was in high school, he said, "Dad, I got tackled today in football practice and got the wind knocked out of me." And I said, "Well, sounds breathtaking." Thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.